Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the Yoyo Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we're continuing in Sefer Tehillim with Perek Kuf Mem Aleph, chapter 141. This is a perek from the same moments that we discussed last time in Perek Kuf Mem, chapter 140, where this is David on the run, fleeing from Shaul, on the run with his life in danger, as Shaul, his father-in-law, who is presently the king, is chasing him, intent on bringing him to justice. Whereas in Perek Kuf Mem, the focus of David was on those who would pursue him, and his attitude or approach towards those, and his request for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him from the bad players in his life, this Perek is one that is more inner-focused. It is David's sincere prayer that that which ails his enemies will not in any way influence him badly. And in this effort, David looks deeply at what underlies the pursuit of those against him. And he highlights the idea of the slander. He highlights the idea of the terrible stories and reports, most often based on lies, that his enemies brought against him to Shaul, in the hope that based on these lies, Shaul would then again pursue David and kill him. And it's an understanding that this is what's at the base, that David very much offers the prayer that he himself not fall into the trap of slander and of using his mouth badly, that he rise above this nasty, nasty habit and keep himself pure from that which was the weapon employed by his enemies. As we see, Perek Kuf Mem Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Mizmor le David, Hashem krasicha, Hashem, I cried out to you. As Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch points out, the word here is not Hashem karasi elecha, which would be a call for help, but rather krasicha, I call for you to be near me. Chusha li, please hasten to hear me. Ha'azina koli b'kal ilach, hear my voice when I call to you. And here we don't hear David asking to hear what I am requesting, hear my words, but rather hear my voice. Says David, I am so rushed, I am so harassed, I am so worried. I cannot necessarily articulate the coherent words or the perfect sentence with which to address you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ha'azina koli, hear the agony, hear the pain that is in my voice. Even if I cannot phrase this correctly, if I can't express myself in an elegant way, how often do we ourselves find ourselves at a loss of words? I can't put together the sentence, God, but there's so much pain and there's so much emotion and there's so much jumbled inside of me. Hear that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if I can't find the perfect sentence in which to express that which hurts me inside. Continuing in Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Tikon tfilasi kitores lefanecha, mas'as kapai minchas arev. Let my prayer, this tefillah of mine, be as the ketoret before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The ketoret was an offering that was brought in the Beit HaMikdash, where animal offerings were brought on the larger Mizbeach HaNechoshet. There was a special Mizbeach, a special altar, inside the Heichal, in a more private area, that was called the Mizbeach HaKetoret. And this again was not an animal offering, but rather it was an offering of incense, of sweetly smelling spices. The Tanchuma tells us in Parashat Tetzaveh that the Ketoret was an offering that was most dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The others, many of them, the sin offerings, the guilt offerings, even the burnt offerings, were always prompted by sin or failings. They were efforts to repair, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we put a distance between ourselves and Him. But the Ketoret is pure, because it was not prompted by a sin, but was offered purely, solely, to bring joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but never mandated by sin. As such, it's particularly welcome and particularly precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, while it was not mandated or prompted by sin, the Ketoret, as a side benefit, so to speak, of bringing this joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are told that the Ketoret had the power to atone, to bring forgiveness for the sin of slander, for the sin of Lashon Hara. which is becomes clear by looking at the makeup of the ketoret. As we said, the ketoret was an offering that was burnt, that was made up of sweetly smelling spices. Firstly, these spices were crushed. The sin of Lashon Hara, speaking badly about another person, generally indicates a haughtiness, an arrogance on the part of the speaker, or an effort to become bigger by making somebody else small. The spices which composed the ketoret were ground, were crushed, indicating the humility that is the antidote or the cure for the haughtiness that prompts Lashon Hara. Further, there were 11 spices that were mixed together to create the ketoret. One of them smelled very foul, had a terrible putrid smell. Yet, when mixed together, the aroma was exalted, was beautiful. Again, teaching us that the most beautiful impact, the most beautiful effort of Jews is when we all unite together. No matter whether some are sweet-smelling or some are not, it's the achdut which again brings us tremendous joy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the achdut which can be ours when we stamp out, when we obliterate, when we distance ourselves from Lashon Hara, which is the poison which would separate us. And so David here is very much focused on the Lashon Hara, the slander that set him apart from Shaul HaMelech, and is hoping that his tefillah can act as a ketoret, can act as an atonement, can lift him above the nastiness of that slander, and also bring forgiveness for that very sin. Mas'as kapai, my outstretched hands should be like a minchas arev, like the offering that was brought in the mincha time, the late afternoon or early evening offering, which again, the Torah tells us, is the tfilat mincha, which is based on, of course, the koban that was brought in the mincha hour, is again a time in offering a tfilah that is particularly precious, that is particularly effective. The challenge seems to be greater when it comes to mincha. Shacharit, we both just woke up. We're hopefully not deep in our day. Maariv, things are winding down. Mincha is when we have to stop and pause and calibrate and turn ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midst of everything. We're told that Eliyahu HaNavi davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har HaKarmel, and his tefillah was mincha, and it was answered. Again, there's a special potency to the tefillah of mincha, to the offering in the Beit HaMikdash that was brought in the mincha hour. And David hopes again that his turning to Hashem at this point will have the potency, will have the power of the ketoret, and of course of the minchat arev. Shisa Hashem shamra lefi, nitzla al dal sfasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, post me a sentry, post me some sort of guard at my mouth. Al dal sfasai. Nitzra al dal sfasai, a guard, dal is milashon delet, at the door of my mouth. David sees that so many have turned against him, using the weapon, as we discussed in the other perek, of their sharpened tongues. At this, David says, I don't want to be corrupted. I don't want to be low like these people. I don't want to respond with tit for tat, where they are trying to chop me down with their tongues, with their power of speech. Please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me not become like them. And this, of course, is the danger that so many of us fear of sinking as low as the others. And David says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me watch myself. Help me guard my tongue. I should not lower myself to the level that they're at. Rav Hirsch here also points out the significance of David asking for the siyata dishmaya in watching his tongue. David had already been anointed as king, and he knows that the path ahead of him is a path of constantly refining and constantly striving and constantly improving himself to be a man worthy of the crown and of the throne. The first step to start on the road of self-refinement, of self-improvement, of becoming a better person is to guard one's mouth. As Rav Hirsch asks rhetorically, for what other course of training is there that demands such constant, continuous self-control and attention than the practical training in keeping one's words unsullied and morally pure? The greatest way in which we make ourselves big is by watching our mouths. Because again, the decision to keep my mouth pure is very much the decision that's going to require a lot of effort and a lot of work. Because this is the trap that faces us moment after moment, time after time. There is no other effort that's as constant, continuous, demanding as the effort to watch our tongues. As such, says Rav Hirsch, it's the perfect starting point for the person who desires to become truly, truly great. And again, David starts this perek with asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to listen to his tefillah. May my tefillah be precious before you. And here there's the understanding, if I would hope that the words I utter from my mouth, tefillah comes from my mouth, to be acceptable and precious to Hashem, then I have to make sure that mouth is pure and hasn't already been dirtied with words of Lashon Hara. Not only may my mouth be pure, that refers, as the Radak says, to what comes out of me, but also guard and protect what comes in to my lev. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. Al tat libi ledavara, lis olel alilos bereshas ishim poale aven, uval elcham biman amehem. Let my heart not turn to anything evil, to perform evil acts with men who are involved in iniquity. And let me not break bread of their delicious feasts. In other words, protect my heart from their influence, and then, of course, my mouth from speaking as they do. David then pivots. While I want to avoid these low people, Pasuk Hey, Yehelmeni Tzadik Chesed, V'yochicheni Shemen Rosh, Al Yani Roshi. These are the Reshaim, the ones who speak Lashon Hara. But when a Tzadik, when the righteous one, will strike me not maliciously, but kindly, V'yochicheni, in an effort to improve me, in an effort to give me Musar, in an effort to turn me to the right place, Shemen Roshi, let me accept that as I would the oil that anointed a person. Al Yani Roshi, let my head not refuse it. Ki od, as long as eternally, Tzfilasi b'ra'osehem, my prayer is against their evils. In other words, says David, let me avoid the ones who slander, but let me accept and welcome the ones who use their words to turn me in the right direction. The Sfogno applies this pasuk directly to David's approach to Shaul, who, as we know, was pursuing David and trying to kill him. But David understood that Shaul really was not to blame for this. Shaul was consumed by a ruach ra'a and was merely, as David saw it, the messenger of Hashem to lead David to where he had to get to in his own self-development, in his own life. And David very much revered Shaul as the Mashiach Hashem, as the one who had been chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be his first king. And as such, the Sforno points out, the words Shemen Rosh refer to Shaul as Mashiach Hashem, as a person who was anointed to be king. And he says, V'yochicheni, Shaul has no part in this. He is chasing me because Hashem chose him as the messenger, Lehochicheni, to improve me and refine me from whatever sins I committed. But I have no ill will to Shaul. And in fact, Al Yani Roshi, I hope that my head will not refuse the tochacha offered by Shaul. Ki od, he is still the Mashiach Hashem. He is still the chosen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, referring to Shaul. And says David, I do not want to harm him. Usfilasi b'ra'osehem. I daven for Shaul, that he will be saved from whatever is consuming him, and that we will end this without my having to come to harm him in order to save myself. David then turns to the others who have taken up the cause against David, but who cannot be forgiven or excused the way Shaul can. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Nishmitu v'yedei sela shoftehem, v'sham'u amarai ki ne'emu. There are the shoftim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, the leaders of the ones who slandered, who did not stop the lesser people from slandering David. And those are people who should have set a good example, were cast down to the rocks, even though they heard that my words were pleasant. Pasuk Zayin, kmo foleach uvokea ba'aretz, nifziru atzameinu lefi sheol. David here describes how desolate and how pained he and his people have become because they are slandered. Like one who plows and splits the soil, so our bones are scattered at the entrance to a pit. And while this is a pasuk that describes the pain that David experiences, Rav Hirsch again lifts this with so much meaning. He points out that when a person plows and splits the soil, foleach uvokea ba'aretz, he is doing so to make the land soft and ready for grain to be planted. In other words, it's productive. Says Rav Hirsch, David here understands that even the pain he is going through is productive, that he is, so to speak, the field of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and those who pursue David while he's pained, this is programmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the process through which David himself would become fertile to grow and to produce. Because anything we experience, any pain, even if the other is at fault, each of us is the field of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we perceive the blows that we receive as making us more fertile and productive to grow beautiful fruit. Ki elecha Elokim Hashem einai, I am turning my eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards you. Becha chasisi, I seek refuge in you. Al te'al nafshi, do not let my soul slip away. Shamreini midefach yakshuli, save me from the trap that they set for me. Umokshos poale oven, and the sneer that those evil ones set for me. Yiplu v'mach morav, the wicked, again the theme from the previous perek, the wicked fall into their own traps. They sow the seeds for their own destruction. However, this is the Rishaim, Yachad Anochi Ad Evo. All of them together should fall into their trap. But Anochi Ad Evo, this will only happen to keep them at bay until I will pass through, hopefully proud, hopefully standing tall, hopefully not influenced or having lost my own dignity and my own very, very high standards. Thank you for studying Le'ilei Nishmot Helen Moskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Sheirut HaPleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.